richness. Ah, the richness of being able to worship like that. Like you, when you're in that, you think, I don't want to be anywhere else in the world other than here right now in this moment. And being with you guys as well, I look around and there's such richness, such a wealth that it's quite overwhelming, the goodness of God. What he has done and what he's doing and what he is going to do is overwhelming. And it's just wonderful, and all the glory goes to him for that. And I'm Chris Richards, married to Dave, and we're in Basingstoke, England. We've had the privilege of coming over to the States for quite a few years now and making deep friendships with you guys. And most of you guys in the room we know, which is really good. Most of your beds we've slept in, I think, looking around, the main leaders here. All the countries, I think, represented here, we've visited and grown to love. So that's who I am. And we have a team of ladies. I'm going to introduce each one before they speak. And what we're going to be doing this morning is the title that we were given is Living in the Nest and Living Out of the Suitcase. So you're going to get a mixture here of different experiences, different problems that have been faced, how we've overcome them, hopefully, or are overcoming them. But it's all to do with going. Whether we go and it's a strange and exotic nation, or whether we're in our homes with our children thinking, how am I going to get through this day with all the demands, the physical demands? It's all going. It's all going. And seasons come and seasons go. But we want to give you some of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes when you see the guys traveling around or you see the couples traveling around. We want to give you a behind the scenes glimpse of some of the stuff that's going on. And hopefully the things you hear will not just be to do with couples who are coming and going, but principles of life that you can apply them whatever age you are, wherever you are. And that they will equip you for the things that you face in your walk and in your going. So really what I want to do, I'm just going to kick off, and I want to just tell you a story of something that happened. We've got three children, grown-up children, and we've got six grandchildren. So we've been through many different seasons. And I want to just home in on one particular time when our son was 18 years old. He was not walking with the Lord. He had two more years of education. Dave was traveling the world, and he was away more than he was at home. Dave is away 3 weeks out of four on average. And I'm with him probably about three quarters of that time. That's our pattern. But at this season of our life, both the girls were away at university. Two had flown the nest. Stephen was 16 to 18, those 2 years. And we knew he was too young to leave. And actually, just as a sideline, we had seen couples actually hear the call of God and be obedient to God at the expense of their teenage children. And we had taken two of those children into our own home. And we had questioned about this, and we had not wanted to make the same mistake. And I feel the mistake that probably a couple of people have made that we've seen is that they've heard the call of God, but they've not perhaps got the timing quite right, and that they have left their children just slightly too young to fend on their own. And it was to the detriment of the children. And I was desperate that we would not make that mistake. We may make other mistakes, but this one I was determined about. I was not going to leave our son for 2 years in the homes of other people. I was going to be there, and I was not going to leave him in the house on his own, and I was not going to put him give him to be somebody else's responsibility. He was our responsibility as parents. Our call could be put on hold. My call could be put on hold. My relationship with Dave, and we spent many hours on this, could be put on hold. 2 years to us is nothing. 2 years to the life of a 16 to 18 year old is a long, long time. And that was the decision we made. During those 2 years, I sunk myself very deeply into the local. So I was on the local leadership team for the church. I did youth work. And I also, what was the third thing I did? Worked with the poor and needy. and I was in the school. Those 2 years were joy for me. Yes, I missed Dave, but I knew that was going to be okay. They were joy because I found the level that I was comfortable with in ministry and I knew was doing the right thing in God. The problem came at the end of the 2 years. I was devastated as I saw the time arriving when I had to give up the school and that whole world. And those of you who work in Christian schools, you know what I'm talking about. It's not just the teaching, it's the whole world of school. I had to give that up and it was coming like a road crash into my life. I loved being part of the leadership, Town Centre Church, my church back home. Loved it. I felt comfortable there. I felt I had a place there. And it was like this road crash arriving. I had to give it all up. And I knew that this was coming, that I had to hit the road again. And I was in a meeting. The Holy Spirit was moving. We had Holy Spirit meetings in those days where we just waited on the Lord and we had no agenda whatsoever. Great meetings. It was nothing to do with what was being said. But the guy, some of you all know Bryn Franklin. It was Bryn Franklin, a prophet back home. He said, there is somebody in the room here and I see a door and the Lord is pushing that door open. And there's a person on the other side who is very small who is trying to keep it closed. And it went, oh, God, that is me. And I knew the futility of trying to push a door closed when God was on the other side pushing it open. I did not stand a chance. And I felt I was cornered in a room. The room, I'd been painting it. I was in this corner. And what happened next was the tears started to come. I thought, God, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. I'm angry about this because this is my life. This is what I would be doing if it wasn't for all this travel and out there. I've got a heart for these things. This is me. And that was my battle. And what happened was like the tears started to come because I knew I couldn't do anything about this inevitability. And the tears were coming down. I thought, what am I going to do? This was like my own meeting in the midst of what everybody else was doing, nothing to do with anybody else. A lady came through the crowd and came to me, and she is a wonderful spiritual mother in the Lord, and she gave me a tissue. And I thought, thank you, Barbara. Someone's going to understand my dilemma here. I'm going to be able to pour this all out, and she's going to pray with me. And I put the tissue to my eyes, and she pulled my hand away. She said, no, Chris, this is not to dry your eyes. This is to release to God whatever it is you're battling with. When you've released it, drop the tissue on the floor and I will then pray for you. You friend! Faithful are the wounds of a friend. In that moment, I wanted an arm around me, but it wasn't what I needed. So it seemed like an eternity, but I released out loud, I released those three areas of my life. I gave them to the Lord. I said, they are yours, they are not mine, and I will move forward with you. I dropped the tissue. She put her arm around me. She prayed for me. And in a second, I saw an open suitcase in my mind's eye, and I couldn't wait to get home to pack a suitcase. It was a total transformation of heart. The goodness of God, that when we release stuff to him, how he can transform us in a way that is totally supernatural. I could have struggled the rest of my life if I had not had that prophetic picture and that word of releasing. And so I did that. The other thing that happened was I felt the Lord say, I will give you young people wherever you go. And I knew it was the Lord because I didn't believe it. My immediate response was, I just don't believe that. That is impossible. I was older, and I thought, nobody's going to ever ask me to do anything with young people. Why would they? So that was how I left. Within a very short space of time, we went to South Africa to work with the Zulus, which was a great experience. But what happened was we were late going to the first meeting. We got to the first meeting, and those Zulu men and women and youth, a whole gallery full of youth, had sung songs and worship songs waiting for us about an hour and a half, 2 hours, 4 hours, Dave rings, 4 hours. They just waited for us to arrive and they hadn't gone home. And I told a bit of this story, and I just looked at the youth and I said, thank you, young people, for being here tonight. You are the confirmation and the answer to the word of God that God spoke into my life that I didn't believe, and you're the fulfillment of it, that you're here tonight. They came up afterwards and they hung around and nudged one another. You say it to her. No, you say it to her. I'm thinking, what's going on here? And these black youths just came up and they said, would you come to a youth meeting in our township this week? I said, I would love to. I would love to. Thinking, God, you are amazing. And I ended up in a very rough area. We had to keep the windows open. It was very dangerous. We couldn't stop at traffic lights. Things were highly volatile in those days. And I sat in a garage on oil drums speaking to these young black youths. And I thought, God, you are a great God. What if I hadn't let go? What if I was still in the school? What if I was still in Basingstoke leadership team? What if I'd said no to God? That manner would have just turned so sour. And yet I had to go. But God gave me the grace to do it. Three things out of that story. One, release with declaration. We have to let go of everything, not just what we're involved in leadership-wise. Our spouses, to release them to the purposes of God. Not try and hold on and control, but to say, Lord, my husband is yours. My wife is yours. Not my plan for their life, your plan for their life. We have to release our kids. We love them. We never stop loving them. But we have to release them to the purposes of God, however painful that might be. And we can't just think it. We have to put it on our lips. Put it on your lips and they'll be free and you'll be free. Faith. I had the prophetic word and I could move in faith off the prophetic word. Each time, each step of the way, the prophetic word has been like rock in my life. It's not been a nice little glittery extra. It has been the rock of my life. It's enabled me to have faith in such a way that I know what God has said and I can walk out on that as solid as I'm standing here on these stairs. One verse in Isaiah 7:9, it says, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Whatever you do, guys, wherever you are in your walk right now, you have to do it with faith. Whether it's staying at home, you do that in faith. If it's with your children, you do it in faith. If it's going to deepest, darkest areas of the world, you do it in faith. Don't do it if you don't do it in faith. You will not be firm at all. And the last thing is seasons. I had to know when the season was changing. We have to be aware that what we're in now is not what will always be, but that the seasons will change. And my faith is this, and we say this time and time again, as it says in Ecclesiastes, everything is beautiful in its season. It was beautiful, my season that I had. But this season that I had to go into that seemed so costly at the time is even more beautiful than the previous season. And as I get older and things change and I don't know how it's all going to work out, there's more release, but I believe there's going to be more and more beauty. The beauty of walking with the Lord in His season, in His way, will never lessen. It will only get brighter. And I have to find that beauty in that season. So whatever age you are, those three things are still vital to you. So that's my bit of my walk. And I'm going to ask if we can just have a little video of Heidi. Heidi Limmer, married to Justin. They're in Casper, Wyoming. They took on the church from Dave and Beth. Heidi is Beth's daughter-in-law. And she couldn't be here, but as a younger mom with five children, it would be good to hear how she handles with the nest and going.
Hi, my name is Heidi Limmer. My husband, Justin Limmer, is the lead pastor at Restoration Church, and we've been in that position for about 4 years here in Casper, Wyoming. We have five children ranging in age from 12 years old to 3 years old. So life is very busy. And I find it a little ironic that I'm speaking to you today on video because I wasn't able to travel to the conference today. And we're talking about how do we manage traveling or staying home? How do we manage being in our nest and then traveling out into other places? So I think it's a little funny that I have to be here. I couldn't come to the conference today, and I'm so disappointed that I couldn't be with you. But this is a very important topic that I feel, especially for women in ministry. How do we handle opportunities to go other places and minister? And when do we need to be home? So for me in this stage of my life, we have a lot of children, and they all have different things that are going on. So for the most part, I don't travel that often. On occasion, I will go to a ministry opportunity with my husband. He travels out of the country about twice a year, and usually it's not any longer than 2 weeks. So we do manage some of that in our house, and usually I'm the one to stay home. But whether you're staying home or whether you're traveling to minister, I think there's two things that I've encountered, and I think especially for young mothers, this is what really holds us back and keeps us from being that anchor at home, that strong base that your husband can pull from when he's gone. Or being able to go out in strength and minister to another place. So what I really feel like it all boils down to that holds us back when we're either at home or traveling. The first thing is fear. If my husband's gone and traveling somewhere, there's this tendency or temptation to be afraid that I'm missing out on something. Don't you call that FOMO, fear of missing out? I'm missing out on meeting new people. I'm missing out on what's happening there. And if I give in to that fear, that just opens the door for jealousy. That opens the door for bitterness and resentment to come in. And that does not leave a strong base for my husband to come home to. And so watch for that. Don't allow that to creep into your heart if this is your season of being at home. If you're able to go travel, and I feel like for us that's probably coming to a point where we're both going to be able to do that soon. Don't let the fear of what's happening at home keep you from really giving yourself where you're ministering. We moms can worry about our babies, and we think that things are not going to run if we're not there. And our kids need us, and they do need us, but they're going to be okay for a few days. They're going to be all right. And so sometimes that fear and anxiety can cripple us from being willing to go minister at other places or go give ourselves to other people. And then the second thing that I feel like at least I have struggled with, and maybe you have too, is just the thought, the overwhelming thought of there's so much to do if I'm going to travel or if my husband's going to be gone. I'm overwhelmed because now I'm doing two people's jobs instead of just one. And I think that's just the enemy. That's just lies. Like, yeah, there is a lot of work to do, but it doesn't have to crush me. It doesn't have to overwhelm me. I can get this done. There is a solution to these problems. We're going to be okay. And so I feel like if you can get past the fear, and if you can get past being overwhelmed, you really can experience the blessing of either staying home, or you can experience the blessing in traveling. It's an exciting time. Don't miss out on what God would have for you, either at home with your babies or ministering to other people. So thank you so much for letting me share. Have a wonderful day.
Great. Isn't that good? She doesn't look like she's got five children, does she? And she look amazing. How do you look like that with five children? Just amazing. That must be an anointing. I'm going to ask Denise if she'll just share. Denise is the very loved wife of Doug. Doug has been doing an awful lot of traveling. He's getting a bit like Dave, where he's traveling more than he's at home. And it raises its own questions. So how do you decide when to go and when to stay? And is there any point in going?
Okay, I'm going to stay seated, I think, if that's okay. First of all, before I get started on that, I just want to say that our going and staying always has the same root in it, the same reason, And it's because of the call of God on our lives. And I feel that one of the biggest calls of God on my life is to see what God has given me, given to those younger than me, and imparting that. And I've given my life to teach in the school and to raise kids and now helping to raise grandkids. And the greatest joy in my life is to be standing in the back of a meeting because I'm ushering and seeing young people bring in the presence of God in a gathering of leaders all over the world. And to me, that is such a blessing when I see the young ones just going for it, leading worship, cleaning the bathrooms, making the food, because they want the presence of God. And that is what this is all about. It's what our staying is about, and it's what our going is about. And I just couldn't say anything else before I said that. Thank you, young people, for being obedient, for taking what we're trying to give you and running with it, because that's why we do anything, because of God's desire to fill the earth. And you guys are what's going to make it happen, because we're getting older. We're not going to be able to keep doing it always. So thank you, young people, for being obedient and for letting us impart into you. So thank you. So Chris said that I want to talk about when do you know when to go and when to stay. A lot of you know me. I'm kind of a shy, comfortable at home kind of person. I love my home. I love being with my children. I love being with my grandchildren. I'm content. I'm comfortable. And I've always loved being here in the local church, helping in any way I can, and being in the school. So when it was evident that God was calling my husband to be gone more, that was kind of a challenge, because it's a little bit out of my comfort zone to do something different than to just be at home and doing what I was comfortable doing. So I had to come to a place where I really had to pray a lot about what God wanted me to do in the moment. Is it time right now to stay, or is it time to go? Am I listening to my own comfort or my own fears, or am I listening to God to know when it's time to do something different? So I have had to learn that it's important to do both, because we are rooted local, and I don't want to give up what I'm supposed to be doing at home and in the local thing to just go and have fun. But I also have to be obedient and know that sometimes it's the right thing to go and to do what he's calling me to do elsewhere. So I have had to learn to really just pray and seek God about whether I'm supposed to stay or whether I'm supposed to go. I also have had to fight a lot of fears, and not fears as the same as hiding necessarily, but fears, personal, really in-depth fears. I don't like to travel. I don't like to be in the car. I don't like city traffic. I fight devils every time I go somewhere. So it's easier for me to stay home, because then I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to deal with getting on a plane and not knowing that I can't control anything here. I can't say, be careful, don't watch for that car. I can't do anything but trust God, because nobody's going to listen to me. So I have to completely put myself, my life in God's hands anytime I go somewhere. And that's a struggle for me. So I have to really pray and seek God and actually overcome real fear to go and not stay. So I've had to really learn to trust God in these times of knowing when to go and when to stay. And I have to fight. Am I wanting to stay because I just don't want to face those fears? Or am I wanting to stay because there's something to do here that's more important right now? And so I think that is a struggle in many different ways, you know, for women that have some responsibilities at home and responsibilities away to deal with struggles like that. So I've had to learn to fight through those things. But then there's so many blessings in both of staying and going that I just want to talk about some of the blessings of now choosing to go, because it's a choice. You know, it's a hard choice for me. I love my husband dearly, and I know that a lot of times he wants me to be with him, and I know in God that it's right for me to be with him many times. So I have to know that it's the right thing to go with him. And I also know the blessings of going in into other places and of being with people and meeting people and seeing where they live and seeing what they do and seeing what God's doing in their midst, and maybe even helping a little bit in those situations by imparting some things there. And God had to, you know, show me that that was important, that just being at home wasn't the only thing that he called me to do. Really, I never even thought I would go anywhere else. I didn't even get on a plane and fly anywhere till I was 44 years old, because I was at home, and I just traveled in cars if we went anywhere. So I really actually almost didn't believe God when he started showing us what else was coming, because it's like, no, I don't fly places. I don't go. I wasn't ever going to go to another country. I didn't know that was in the plan for my life. So trusting God and then being able to do it has been one of the greatest blessings that I never expected in my life. And to be in other places, to see what God's doing in those places, to help in any little way in those places, to see God come to those places, has been one of the greatest blessings in my life. And the other night when I was greeting people, somebody came in and said, "So do you know about everybody here?" And I said, "Actually, I do." Isn't that amazing? Because they're from all over the world, and I've actually been in many of their homes. And I never believed that God would open up those areas in my life and that I would be a part of that. And so the blessings of going, I can be a help to my husband. I can meet people and see where they are and see what God's doing. And I can know how to pray in the situations, because if you're not in that situation, you don't really understand what's going on and what it's like. And I've learned so much by going different places and what God's doing. And it's been such a blessing. So my encouragement would be, I don't know how many other people fight fears and battles the way I do, but my encouragement would be, no matter what God's called you to do, fight the fears, fight the enemy, whatever it is that he's fighting against you to keep you from doing what he's called you to do, fight those things, because the blessings are great on the other side.
Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Thanks, Denise. You're going to get a lot of honesty this morning. I think you tend to do that with the women. They'll pour it all out. You'll hear it all. And that's good, because it's real, isn't it? So thank you so much, Denise. So Beth, you're going to share a little bit too about one or two problems. Beth is amazing. Don't be fooled by that very sweet little smile that you see there. Behind that smile is a pioneering woman. She is amazing. And being married to Dave, she has to be amazing. It's true, isn't it? He is such a pioneer, such a go-for-it guy. And he carves stuff out where there isn't anything there. And she goes alongside with him, and it's just amazing. And they're on a whole new adventure together on that. So, Beth, can you just share a bit about that? We do love you.
I was just thinking yesterday how it's interesting that most of us up here aren't the most outgoing personalities as far as liking to go into new situations, you know. But God's grace, when you're called into a situation, his grace to do what you need to do is always there. And so, you know, and of course, as each one's talking, different things come to mind. And so, okay, Lord, just take us where you want us to go here today. But so my fears and insecurities were different even than the ones mentioned so far, because I could be with Persia driving through Nairobi, and she's trying to be nice and stop at the stoplights when nobody else is. They're just wishing through, and she knows we're from America, and so she's trying to be nice. And we're in Korea, and the gal ends up doing a U-turn in front of six lines of traffic, and then you're like, yeah, that's not okay. And yet those aren't my fears. My fears are more the insecurity at home before I go of, wow, how do I know what that culture is going to be like? How do I know what that family's going to be like? How do I know what's appropriate to pack and what isn't? And you know, all those kinds of things. It's my personal insecurities that become more an issue for me. And so I, you know, and of course, all your filters from life fall into that. And so I literally have to go into my closet when I'm totally overwhelmed. I don't know how to even start packing for 5 weeks away. And I'm like, oh, and it's like, okay, Lord, forgive me for my anxiety. Forgive me for letting this overwhelm me. I push that aside and confusion go in Jesus' name. Okay, now where do I start? And I literally just have to start with, okay, I know I want this or need this, you know. And it's like, it really is amazing. You know, he's always faithful. I always have what I need. And even giving us wisdom, you know, like when we went to Denmark and that area of Sweden and different places, we were at Faroe Islands. We were there for over five weeks. But the Lord gave us wisdom to take one big suitcase and one little suitcase. Because if you've ever been in these nations, their cars are very tiny and their places you stay are tiny. And so you don't want to be dragging American suitcases all over the place. And so we were able to leave our big suitcase with Frank and Bettina. And they would do laundry for us, and we'd go out for a week, and we'd come back, and we'd repack our suitcase, our little one we'd take with us, and we'd go out, and we'd come back. And it's like God was just, he's just so faithful. Even when Glenn was at our house, he had all of these, like when you get your sheets are in these plastic bags or whatever, he had all his shirts in these bags and all. It's like, wow, that's an awesome idea, you know. And so you can put your socks and underwear in this little bag and it stays where it belongs, and it's like, wow, I'm liking that, you know. And of course in the stores you can get the Ziploc brands that you can push all the air out and supposedly get more stuff in, you know. But all of that, it's just God gives you wisdom for the little things that do matter to us women. and he gives us wisdom. But I was looking back at my life. I actually was called into missions. And of course, you don't always understand all that as you're growing up. But I traveled as soon as I could. As soon as the church I was in would let me, I went to Mexico. I went to South Africa. I went to... The first one had to be inner city, so United States. So they sent me to Chicago, and it was probably the most dangerous one I was on, as there were shootings on the steps of the church we were doing Bible school in, and all of that. But anyway, it's like God had it in my heart for missions. So then, like Heidi was saying, when my kids were little, I really did have to fight against. Almost a jealousy of him being out there and me having to stay home. But the Lord works in all those seasons. He works in all those times. And there's definitely been seasons where you have to pray and say, okay, is this the time I go? Is this the time I stay? And of course, God works things out of us in each of those situations, whether we're alone and having to bear the burdens and having to face those giants in our lives, or whether we're traveling into new situations and not feeling very comfortable. And But for me, he always gives grace that wherever I am, if I'm in a new situation, when I'm there, I feel right at home. I don't ever feel like I have to be somebody I'm not. And so he definitely gives me grace and gives me grace to let the things at home go. We really don't yearn for our grandkids when we're away. We know that God's got them. And of course he can stir us if there's special prayer needs or something. But it's like I let home go and give myself where I'm at. And there's just a real grace that he gives us to do that. And so I've always been thankful. It is interesting, that aspect of my insecurities or my inner needs. It's like we can feel like we've got that all settled. Oh, I don't have an insecurity issue, because we kind of stay in our own place where we're comfortable and where everyone knows your role. And over the years, but then when I'd be going into like a pastor's conference, oh my goodness, all those insecurities would surface. Well, are you going to fit in? Are you going to know what to wear? All those crazy things. And it's like, but again, God's grace as we face those giants is he is faithful. And I give myself, you know, in that moment, and you find that all these precious people are just like us. They have the same needs, the same desires, the same fears that they work through, the same pressures in life of how do you deal with the pressure in life. And so God is faithful, and we're all different, but he all gives us a piece of the puzzle to take into that place. And so again, I don't have to be somebody different. I am who I am, and I can pray with people, because that's what God has us doing, is praying with people. And it's like, I don't have to have gone through everything they've gone through. I don't have to have experienced all their culture to know that God's the answer. And so when I pray with people at home or overseas, it's like, well, what is it that you're dealing with, and how can Jesus meet that need? And so I just thank him for all he's done. I guess, you know, I mentioned that I always wanted to be a missionary, but my parents always called it a missionary spirit when they taught us how to eat what was on our plate. So whenever we go into a place, it doesn't matter what we're having to eat. I enjoy it. How to sleep anywhere we need to sleep. How to just, we called it a missionary spirit, because we would be able to adapt to whatever we needed to. And so I thank my parents for instilling that in me as well.
Thank you, Beth. Right.
It's interesting that you've heard all that goes on behind the scenes when Dave and Beth go places, but I just, you know, would like to say they do an amazing job, and she, along with her husband, has a fantastic ministry of seeing people set free. They deal with a lot of the ways we think. They have it's like a unique ministry amongst us. So them traveling church to church is highly effective, highly productive, and you can hear that it's highly costly too. But many people in your churches have been blessed by these two. And when we get times of rest in our program, we can have an hour or two's break perhaps between meetings. Very often these two are seeing people set free. That's what they do. And so we just appreciate that this is going on and you're hearing that side of it, but the other side is that they are being very, very effective in the kingdom of God. So that's great. But the home, Heidi mentioned the home and the importance of a strong home base. And Crystal Lotterer is from the church here. They are the lead couple here now, taken over from Doug and Denise. And we were in their home 2 days before this conference started. They have a beautiful home, but it's beautiful not because it's built beautifully, which it is, and furnished beautifully. The hospitality there is second to none. And they hosted us for 2 days, and they served and served and served. So I just want Crystal to share her heart about the importance of the home base.
When I received Chris's email, I thought maybe it was a mistake. because when it talked about, you know, going out, I thought, well, I don't really go out, so it must be the nest that I'm supposed to talk about, because that's me. Jay and I were talking, and he always comes up with quippy little sayings, and so we were talking about the nest, and he said, nest rest. And like, okay. but it is really important. We had I think it was a prophetic word several years ago about sea crew and shore crew. And I feel very much like we are shore crew. And so I don't know if I'll speak to many of you or few of you, but for those of us who are at home and don't travel so much, the importance of preparing a place for those who do come and travel, a place where they can rest, is, I think, vitally important. You know, in Timothy it talks about, you know, how our homes are well kept, and the importance of having a place. And it doesn't matter, you know, what your home is like, it's how you prepare your home. And, you know, ushering in the presence of God, when we talked about a nest, you know, how, I don't know who came up with that title, but I was thinking about a bird and how a mama bird builds a nest. And it's not, she doesn't take anything fancy, you know, she takes anything off the ground that she can find, but she can build a home for her babies. And we had a bird build a nest a couple summers ago in our wreath on our front door. And so we were really careful and cautious that, because you could see the mama bird would fly back and forth because she was concerned about her nest and taking care of her family. And so I love being a mom, and I love preparing an atmosphere in my home for children to come. Most all the kids around here know me and know that I love them. I'm a teacher at the school, and so just having an open home, I don't know if many of you have heard that concept. Doug has spoken a lot to us, but Jay and I both absolutely love having an open door concept within our home, that we just want the welcome of God to be in our home at all times, that you know you can come over and we're going to be happy that you're there. You might not get the greatest of food, it might not be fancy, but we can hang out and have table talk. I don't like being up here very much, but I love sitting at the table with you. So this is not my strong suit, being up here. So sure, you prayed for me before we came up this morning. but come to my home and I will serve you. And so the importance of the home for when people are traveling and they're weary. I think of those things because I want to make a place in our homes for those of us who are shore crew to make a place for people to rest when they are traveling, because it's hard on you. You know, poor Fraser's, he didn't feel great yesterday. And unfortunately, our house was a little loud yesterday afternoon, and I apologize because we had lots of people come in for dinner. But you know, my hope is always that you can find a place of rest when you're in our home. So I do believe Jay found the quippy little saying, but nest rest. for those of us who are shore crew, when we have people coming in, that we pray over our homes, make a place where people really can rest and find the peace of God while they're traveling. And just to take it a little further as far as the importance of hospitality and caring for those around you, I find it vitally important that we all be stretched to try to create an open home. For those of you, we are, Jay and I are more social people. We're more out there. We're not introverts. We're definitely more of the extrovert as far as, you know, loving to be around people. We like to have company. But I think that all of us, Jesus can help all of us to want to get to the place where we are hospitable and caring for others. And it doesn't take anything fancy. You know, you don't have to be a great cook. You don't have to order pizza. People really just, relationships, you know, we talk about family. We're family on a mission together. And, you know, living life together. So creating an open home so that we can live life together. Because when we just come in these four walls, you don't really get to know one another. It's when we're walking out life together and we're across the table from one another and living life together in the day-to-day that's so vitally important. And you will be so blessed. I mean, the relationships that you get to build by having people in your home and getting to know others, it blesses you so much. So you get a return, you know, for what you're doing, how you're serving others. It's just wonderful. So mine's just for the nest. And I don't travel, but
Dave and I say many times that we can only travel out because of the team we have back home. We have a team of prayers who have our agenda, our timetable, whenever we leave, and they pray us through. We know that prayer. We have homes that we stay in. When we walk in, even they don't have to be the smartest of homes, you know, materially, but just the things that Crystal's been sharing there, that heart of hospitality. And when we get there, it is such a ministry to those who are on the road. And this is such a precious thing. I don't want us to gloss over this. It's powerful. And that's why you're on this team this morning, Crystal. This is valuable because it's the heart of welcome, the heart of God. And the big races, the yacht races you see, the America's Cup and all that stuff, the shore crew is as vital, if not more vital, than the sea crew. Because if that boat is not equipped properly and maintained and all that work gone on it, and then they will just suffer. They'll never win the race, however clever they are. And it's the same with us, with Translocal Ministry. We need these homes of hospitality, prayers back home, those who've got a heart for the local, carrying on the work, all this sort of stuff. It's so important. So Sherry's going to just finish this off. And she's got an interesting take on this because she's putting the two things together. She doesn't do lots of traveling. She's from Omaha, Nebraska, and they've got an amazing family. And I know the home's very important to her, but she's also got the understanding that to go out is actually beneficial to the home.
Like Crystal, I was thinking that email was a mistake when I got it. and so I was pondering, after we discussed it and things, I was pondering that idea of the nest and what, Lord, do you want me to share about the nest? Because it's vast, you know. And the Lord works with me with pictures, and so I saw a picture of a nest. And in the nest were these little pieces of other things other than twigs. And it was woven into the nest. And I thought, what was that? And then the Lord reminded me that, I love birds. And so I'm always trying to feed the birds and get them into my yard, and the hummingbirds and all kinds of birds. And I plant flowers for the birds. And the one thing I do in the spring, and my kids think I'm crazy, but I sprinkle feathers out in the yard and some little pieces of yarn so they can build their nest. And so I'm helping them. And so the Lord reminded me, he said, it was like he said, there are things that, though you have not traveled much, we've gone overseas, I think, maybe four times, and traveled among the churches just in the Midwest. So we've not done a lot of travel. But when we have traveled out, what we have brought back has been woven into our nest. And he reminded me of two things that are very important in our lives. And so I'm going to share those stories because I want to give God the glory for that. But the second time we went to Europe, we went to Oxford to the International Leaders Conference. And though I can't remember the man's name, he spoke on giving honor from where your heritage had come from your honoring your heritage. Don and I had been out of the denomination for numerous years. We had left a denomination. And we had not felt like we had really left in the best way. And there were hurt feelings. And we were sitting there in that meeting, and Don leaned over to me and he said, I feel like I need to go home and write a letter to the district officials and ask their forgiveness and honor what they had put into us for so many years. And Don's family was generationally in that denomination. So it was a big decision when we took our church and left. And so there's also something that the Lord put in me of people that I needed to write some letters to who also had poured into my life and had helped, because I came out of a denomination that didn't know Jesus and had come to the Lord when I was a teenager, but there were people who had poured into me that also had been in such, that it wasn't done right. So I needed to apologize and ask their forgiveness, and we went home and did that. And I won't go through all the sequence of events, but through that letter, those officials were deeply touched and contacted Don, and through relationships that were built, they asked us to come to a business meeting for that denomination. This was years after we had left. And we walked in, and Don, in his manner that he has is of being warm and gracious, he said to them, you know, I know that we made you feel like we rejected you, but we want to ask your forgiveness for that, because that's not what we were doing. We were trying to follow the voice of God, and we know that we hurt you in the midst of that, and we ask your forgiveness. And there was such weeping and crying in that room, and they came and they hugged us and prayed over us, and there was such restoration. And so that was powerful in our lives, powerful in our church. And then it touched our very home. And one of our daughter-in-laws, if some of you have done the Strength Finder thing, her highest one is harmony. And so she's never been cold to us. She's never been disrespectful to us. But when we shared all of that as it had transpired and took place, there was something in her that changed towards us as we had built these bridges back. Her respect level changed. Her warmth toward us changed. And God knit that conference, that man that spoke, that word that came to us as we traveled out into our nest, and then into our lives as we have lived out of that to begin to honor other people and other situations. And the second one that he brought to mind was Ingmar and Tina Aronson, and many of you know them, and there's a whole sequence of events of how they came into our lives, and we just connected deeply with them, and we have been with them to their summer house. We've sought the Lord together. They've prophesied over us. We've prophesied over them. We've just shared deeply with them. And so we Skype with them, and they have known what we're going through. And we were trying to, we had left a facility because the lease was getting too expensive. We were in its interim place, and we were looking for a building. And Ingmar is a man of faith, and they were coming into town right at that time. We were in this interim place for our whole church. And Ingmar shared their journey to get their building. And it was amazing of the faith level that came up in our church and in our hearts, in Don and I, and particularly in our son-in-law. And again, I won't go through all the details, but the Lord used our son-in-law who grabbed on to what Ingmar shared and that faith that he brought to us. And he stepped into that, and as he stepped into that, he began to go out and search. And he stepped into places that provided financially, amazingly, doors opened financially for us because he stepped out in the faith that Ingmar had brought into our house. And so woven into our nest, into our personal nest, our family, was this awesome faith that Ingmar had just basically imparted and into our nest of our church as well. And those things are so precious and so valuable. And what I wanted to say is that, you know, you may have only traveled out your front door to hear, but there are things that God wants to weave into your nest and to take with you. And it doesn't matter if it's 1,000 miles away, as it was with the European conference that changed our lives. It closed a door of accusation in our lives that was just amazing. And so there are things that God is weaving today, and you may have just walked across the street here, but it's being woven into your nest, and it's changed our lives, and it'll change yours.
So I think the message is clear, whether you go, whether you stay, whether you're local, whether you travel, whatever it is, that to face it with faith, know that the grace of God is there, know that your walk and your call is different from everybody else's. You've heard very different aspects today, but can I just pray for you and then we'll have our break? Heavenly Father, we just want to respond to your call to go. Lord, whatever that might mean for each one of us, we want to be obedient to that. We want to be not allow fears to hold us back, neither to push our own agenda, but to be sensitive to the ebbs and the flows that it will be throughout our life. Would you give each one of us a love for the local and a respect for the local, and also a love and a respect for going global? And that you would help each one of us find our place within the whole pattern that you are working out, that the kingdom of God may extend throughout our families, throughout our towns and our cities, throughout our nations. Father, we ask that you would have your way amongst us, and that the name of Jesus will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Wasn't that wonderful? Man, come on, let's give, oh, perfect. Thank you. Thank you. You know, what's several things are really cool about this, but one of them is I know their lives, and this is so real. You know, the church isn't a building. It's not a meeting. It's not that at all. It's a family walking together with God on mission. So I appreciate the way they've expressed this, and they're all pretty sharp looking too. Do you kind of think that as well? What we're going to do is we take this break. I want you to remind you last night, if you weren't here, we talked about Jackson from Uganda, and he was denied entrance into the company, so our country, not company, and was turned away. And so obviously he incurred the price of a ticket that didn't get used. And you may not have prayed about this, but just ask the Lord if he would want you to contribute to try to help that. And what we're going to do, we'll set up a basket, but if you'd like to give into that, we'll note it at the beginning of our next session and have a time where you can bring your offering up. They'll have a basket ready to come up here. But just for a moment, let's just pray. Lord, show us if you would have us to help with this expense that was incurred with Jackson, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. And just thank you for the blessing that these ladies have brought us, the inspiration and the light that reflects your kingdom. Father, we thank you for that. Help us enjoy our time here in this break. We thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay.